Well, good morning and welcome to the Garden Conversation. This morning we are joined by Liz Morantz. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Melissa.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you here. This program is being pre-recorded on March 14th to be aired on March 21st because of scheduling difficulties. So glad that you could be here today. Our topic this morning is lighting for seed starting. It is that time of year to get those seeds going. And also to think about lighting so that we can have healthy transplants. So Liz, you've recently been doing some research as you're setting up a new greenhouse. What sorts of things have you discovered in your research, and was it easy to draw conclusions from what you read?
Yeah, okay. So being the frugal type and wanting to be able to get some lights going that didn't cost me a lot of money, I decided I would research and see if I could save some money without compromising my little starts. So there's a lot out there, information, and I started with the topic of grow lights, and soon found out a big distinction was being made between whether you're going to use fluorescents or LEDs. And so what I found out was your plants are going to like either one. You don't have to go with LED just because it's the new technology. LED will save you money and electricity a lot, but other than that, and it's better for the environment. But other than that, fluorescents are a great way to go. Fluorescents can get a little trickier when you're trying to decide what fluorescents you want, because there's been a lot of changes being made for grow lights. And what you can look at is there's a number they give. It's a T number, and the most modern fluorescent lights for growing are the T5s, and then you can also find T8s and T12s. And what those numbers mean, it's just the distance between the two on the bulb, the two little
prongs
that stick out. It's how far apart the two prongs are. So that's how it is. Why it's significant, I didn't know why. Is T8 better than T12? It's mostly has to do with whether you're going to use old lighting fixtures or not, and that's where you can save money. So forget the T12s, because they're an older technology, and you're just going to have a harder time in the grow world coming up with a bulb that has the right amount of K, they call it, wide spectrum. We're going to use the word full spectrum. But so from what I researched anyway, you'd better to go to the 8s or the 5s.
Okay, and the 5s are the most current?
Right. And the reason, some people say that the 5s are better because the bulbs that they're making, they're more thinking about that full spectrum word. And that's where it got complicated, was this whole thing of full spectrum. And when you go, there's so many sites that are selling bulbs and bulb fixtures for growing that you can get so much different information. And I started noticing that some sites would use the word full spectrum, and other sites wouldn't use the word full spectrum. And I wanted to know why some sites did and some sites didn't. And this isn't the last word on the subject, but what I deduced from what I read, and someone else might come to a different conclusion, but it seemed to me from my research is that you can use the important number to think about when you're deciding what bulb to buy is the K number. For a plant wants something between 5,000 and 6,500 Ks. It might say full spectrum. The website might talk full. It might not. But you don't have to have it say full spectrum. If it's between 5,000 and 6,500 Ks, you're getting a broad spectrum. I'm going to use the word broad spectrum of light, which what plants like. So this one guy, he's been growing plants forever, and I really liked it because you can really start spending a lot of money if people can sell you on this full spectrum. A lot of it has to do with, like, for SAD, you know, and people, SAD, uh-huh. people.
The seasonally affected disorder.
They make sure they get the right light for that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there's so many companies that are trying to get you to buy their product for that. I ran into that mm-hmm. a lot. But you don't have to think about what you just need to, what I deduced is that I ended up making sure I got between a 5,000 and a 6,500. And this guy said K.
And
yep.
What does the K stand for?
I forget now. Sorry. It's just about the range of light. It's the spectrum of light. Okay. So it covers a bigger spectrum.
Because you can get like lights that are mostly red spectrum or mm-hmm. blue spectrum.
Yeah.
And so that would be a limited number.
Yeah, and when you have to get high tech, when it's really important mm-hmm. which lights you get, I think it's when, if you're growing like marijuana or something and you want lights that for flowering versus just sprouting, for leaf growth, so then, you know, you can get high tech. But for just starting vegetables, mm-hmm. between 5,000 and 6,500K seems to be what you're looking
for. So a commercial greenhouse, whatever it is you may be growing, you're going to want to have maybe different red lights or blue lights, but
yes.
for most of us home gardeners, then the full spectrum works okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to say full spectrum, because the light we're ending up getting, it's some people, you might come to the conclusion that it has to be full spectrum, but from what I found out, there is no definitive definition. I even looked up full spectrum, and I think the word is thrown around loosely. So mm-hmm. I think it's more important just to make sure you have between 5,000 and 6,500.
Okay, and if we turn our brains back to junior high science, if you have a prism and you're looking at white light with a prism, it will break out into the different spectra,
right.
the different colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, so white light really basically contains all of those different colors.
Okay.
So the plant's getting the whole thing. Okay. And what else did you discover in your research?
What I loved is this one guy who's been growing for a really long time, and he said that you don't have to worry about it having to say the word grow light. The whole thing about the difference between fluorescence. A fluorescent light can have that number that you are looking for and still be a shop light. So mm-hmm. you can find, this guy's growing great shop. He's growing great vegetables with old-fashioned fluorescent shop lights. So mm-hmm. don't get sucked into, you know, you have to get the cool, groovy grow light. You
okay.
know? And that there are now, like Gershon and Carrie Cohen have old fixtures from fluorescent lighting. They took out of a building, and they're willing to give them away. And you can use those fixtures and get bulbs that are at that K number that you want and reuse the fixtures. So that's another way to save money, is to use old fluorescent lighting. Shop fixtures you can use.
Okay, and so are those shop fixtures going to be like a T5 or a T8 or whatever?
Right, that's what you got to check, like, to make sure it's going to match. So you can't just assume that it's going to match up. So the shop fixtures that Gershon and Carrie have are T8. So a T8 bulb will fit into that. And even LUTAC has that you can get into a trouble put. Nope, you're good. Sorry, I was going to say something, but it's not.
Okay, right. I know when I've had to replace light bulbs in my grow light, my light stands that I have, the light stands are small, and I've literally just carried them with me to the hardware store to make sure that they'll work because of that T5, T8 thing.
Yeah.
So thank you. That explains a lot of why they won't fit sometimes. Yeah. Okay, what else did you discover?
I don't know, just that everybody has it's like the garden conference, you know. Mm-hmm. A takeaway a lot of people, it seemed to me, came away with is that there is no one answer out there. So at least for me, I found I would have never ordered any lights if I was looking for, you know, the Bible truth about grow lights or something.
Okay.
You know, that you can, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, experiment, see what works for you. What we do know is that unless you have really good indoor light, that's putting plants in a south facing window won't work very well, that they'll tend to get way too leggy.
Yeah.
Even though some people have good success with that, it just depends on how much natural light you're getting into your house. So for those of you that are getting your seed starting going, you want to get set up with your lights.
And you know, a lot of it too, you can, like I did starts in the past, but you just, for how much daylight we're getting, and you know, you can get more of a jump start if you do grow lights, you know.
Exactly.
Because early on they need the light, and you mm-hmm. know. Yep.
Yeah, the old incandescent light bulbs that we all used to know basically produced a huge amount of heat for a small amount of light, and you really ran the danger of burning your plants up, mm-hmm. where now with either fluorescent or the LEDs, you get much better light with a lot less heat mm-hmm. yeah. from it. So how far do you keep the plants from the light?
Yeah, well, asking around and what I've read and people, there's a lot of people in the valley who have been doing it for a while. It seems like just keep raising the light up, keeping them an inch. Is that what you do? About an inch above.
Yeah. And so what you want to do is to have the light about an inch above your little seeds. And that can become complicated because raising and lowering the lights can be really tough.
Yeah.
What I've done is I've scrounged a whole bunch of sheets of styrofoam from various places, and I just raise and lower the plants mm-hmm. on top of these sheets of styrofoam, and that way I can keep them at an inch. Because if you've got lots of different kinds of starts,
right.
everything's going to grow different sizes, different speeds, and so on. And so you end up it becomes very difficult to raise and lower the lights to work, but it's easy to raise and lower the plants to work just using, you know, blocks of styrofoam or whatever that you can find around. What about timing? How much time do you keep the plants under lights?
You know, my research was really just trying to figure out what I needed to buy for the lights. But just talking to different people, I didn't do as much research, but the little bit, I don't know what you do, but is some people, again, there's a variety. Some people, you know, say 18 hours. Some people say 12 hours. So I don't know. I think different people have different takes on that, you know?
Yeah. There are a couple of, as we were researching for this, I went into the Cooperative Extension website that you can get through UAF, University of Alaska Fairbanks, their Cooperative Extension website, and I found two documents that I found really helped. One is called Seed Starting and Transplanting, and the number on that is HGA0032, and then there's another one called Controlling the Greenhouse Environment, HG0036, pages 11 to 17, or we'll save you some time there. Both are free and available to anybody who wants a good reference on those. But one of the things that it talks about is how much light to use with different kinds of starts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's pretty handy piece of information there, okay. You know. And so some people bother with timers. Some of us who are lazier gardeners turn the lights on when we get up in the morning and turn them off before we go to bed at night. People who are doing things commercially are probably going to be a lot fussier about them. Are there any other kinds of considerations that you are using with getting your starts going?
Well, I think one thing to think about, too, is depending if you're starting your seeds in 4-inch pots and not going to transplant them until they go out into the ground, or whether you're using the little 4-packs or whatever, but to be thinking of in terms of how many lights you might want or whatever, is to think about room. And because you might start out with only 4 flats, but by the time you get things transplanted, you're like, shoot, I don't have enough lights for all these. So, you know, you've got to plan ahead in that department. And also plants start as they get bigger. And if we have like a late spring and we can't get our transplants out soon enough, then the plants are going to start in the trays are going to you can't just have them wall to wall, 4-inch pots or whatever. So yeah, you got to, you know, just be thinking ahead in terms of space, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good point, because I don't know about anybody else, but I tend to be way over optimistic as I am in the starting gates to get going with things. One other trick I've seen that works really well is to put up aluminum foil or like that styrofoam that has aluminum back on it so that you can reflect the light. That, you know, the light that's coming off of all of your tubes there then bounces off of that aluminum and shines back on the plants. And so you get more bang for your buck, essentially, in terms of lumens, in terms of the amount of light that's made available to the plants. One note is that if you have fluorescent tubes and they burn out, you can recycle them at Haynes Friends of Recycling. I had to get that plug in. You knew I did. So if you have any other questions, send them to us at garden@khns.org. And you can also listen to old programs on the KHNS website under Garden Conversation. So thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Melissa.
Bye-bye.
Bye.